Things we lost to the flames. Things we'll never see again. All that we have amassed sits before us, shattered into ash.
What she won't do. some pretty hard limits. What you won't do for love if there's not
song was called What She Won't Do, and that was by the South Yorkshire band The Raytons off their latest album Ballad of a Bystander. And just before that we heard the song The Things We Lost in the Fire by the English band Bastille. And now we're going to move on to some Canadian songs that I found on the playlist. We are going to start with the song Rocker Blues by the artist Amory off of her latest album, Continue as Amory.
Thank you. crashing waves, feeling way down from the rushing waves. I've been feeling way down. I've been feeling way down. Russian waves, feeling way down from the Russian waves. I've been feeling way down. I've been feeling way down. I know that it's been a hard day, but you can still grow even in a dark place. And I know that it's been a hard day, but we can still glow even in a dark day. It's been a long time. I had to hit the road, see how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Hold up, be reminded. When things do get tough, I know we seem all blinded. With a little meditation, realigning. Guarantee you find it. Come on, get behind it. Hold up, be reminded. When things do get tough, I know we seem all blinded. With a little meditation, realigning. Guarantee you find it. Come on, get behind it. Yeah, it's been a long time. I had to hit the road, see how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Been a long time. I had to hit the road, see how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a. Hold up, be reminded. When things do get tough, I know we seem all blinded. With a little meditation, realigning. Guarantee you find it. Come on, get behind it. Hold up, be reminded. When things do get tough, I know we seem all blinded. With a little meditation, realigning. Guarantee you find it. Come on, get behind it. I know that it's been a hard day, but you can still grow even in a dark place. And I know that it's been a hard day, but we can still glow even in a dark day. It's been a long time. I had to hit the road, see how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. See how far that I could go. Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time.
That song you just heard was Been a Long Time by the artist Btox off his latest album, Been a Long Time, which had more of an R&B feel to it. And the song before that was Rocker Blues by the artist Amory. I want to thank you all so much for tuning into my open mic this afternoon. And I'm going to be leaving you with an interview that I did with Anna about her performance in the Renfrew Ravine Festival. And be sure to stay tuned as we have free voices coming up next from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And be sure to tune in again for some more music next week. Anna,
hello.
Could you possibly tell us a bit about your role in the Renfrew Still Moon Festival?
Yes, of course. So I'm actually doing two things this year. I am working on a lantern installation with two other artists, and I'm also part of the finale performance. And I will be in three sections of that performance. Two of those will be with some props we have made out of eco materials. And one of those performances is on stilts, so I'm a stilt walker as well.
Oh wow, that's definitely something you don't hear every day. Someone being a stilt walker. So how did you come about getting involved in the Still Moon Festival?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Still Moon Arts, it's an amazing organization, and I moved to Vancouver 2 years ago. And it's one of the first things I did was in that September of 2022, I went to the Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival, and I was just completely enchanted. Like I was seeing that parade coming down the hill with people in costumes, people on stilts and playing the trombone, different instruments. It was something out of a dream. I was completely enchanted. And then it went down to this park where there were lanterns everywhere and performances. It was so magical. It's like in a dream. That's the only way to describe it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I want to be part of this. And then I started talking to some of the organizers and I started to volunteer with the organization. And the next edition, I was already involved making a lantern installation. And this year, not just the lantern installation, but I'm also doing performance. So yeah, it's been really wonderful.
Yeah, I can imagine now that you're like sort of living your dream. You're getting to be a part in so many different aspects of it as well, not just one. So for the people that will listen to this and maybe not have heard of the Ravine Festival, could you tell us a bit about what it is?
Yeah, of course. As far as I know, I think it started over 20 years ago already. So the Renfrew Ravine Park, it used to be a little bit of a forgotten, abandoned park, let's say. So a lot of garbage was in the park and people would use it like for drug use. Like basically it was kind of that kind of place where you have a lot of syringes lying around and it's not really, was not a safe, accessible place for people with families or dogs. They wouldn't really go there because of the sort of image that the park had. So this initiative, it started with a group of volunteers cleaning up the park and trying to make it become more family friendly and accessible over time. So they were working together with the city of Vancouver to kind of make that happen and get a grant for that festival to occur every year. And it's been, yeah, over time, really, really successful. And it's really become a center of the community because that park, it is also behind the community center. So a lot of people, they tend to now hang out at the park before or after some activities that are happening there. And I think this festival, because it's happening just after sunset, to show that it is safe in the nighttime is really, yeah, it's an achievement that that has been able to happen. And people are involved in different ways. So there are performance musically, there are visual artists, there's even like a vegetable competition. So people in the neighborhood are growing vegetables and they're like showing off what they have been able to harvest. And it's a wonderful opportunity for like people of all ages, like young and old, to come together and just like celebrate their community. So I think that's, yeah, it makes it something really very special, very wonderful.
Yeah, I can also, like, I've never heard of a festival that is able to promote space being safe in the dark, because I think that's such a big thing as well, like, globally. You're like, there's like this thing of like, I don't want to go outside when it's like dark by myself, not safe,
that's
something's
right.
going to happen. So to be able to have like this festival happen like during the evening as you watch it go from like day to night, and it's like well into the night as well. That's so interesting. If I have it correct, the festival, there's a main day for the festival, but there's events that have been happening throughout September, hasn't there?
That's right. There have been a few events in the run-up to the festival. I think there was a lantern making workshop last week. So part of this organization, it's a dye garden. We have different plants, which you can create natural dyes from these plants. So last week on Friday, there was a dyeing workshop to make orange shirts for the Orange Shirt Day. And there was also a mooncake making workshop. There have been all sorts of events just to promote this event going on. And there was some poetry reading and music last weekend. But the main day, it will be on the 21st of September. So that is next Saturday. And it will be in the afternoon and evening in Slocum Park. And then the parade will lead down to the Renfrew Ravine Park, where the Lantern Festival is happening and the performances.
Oh, wow. I think, like, as well, it's something so nice that there's such a variety of what you can get involved in if there's like certain things that you're really interested in. I know me and a friend, when we were researching this, and we saw a mooncake like making thing, and we were like, what the hell is a mooncake? Like, that sounds so cool. So it's a good way of like learning about, they'd say, like different cultures and different like practices, different, just lots of different things.
Yeah, definitely. I think both the Renfrew Community Center and the Collingwood Community Center are really wonderful in that aspect. I think it really brings together the neighborhood because there are people from all sorts of different backgrounds there. And for example, in the Collingwood neighborhood house, there is also a weekly cedar carving workshop just to learn about the indigenous practice of carving cedar in these kind of patterns. And as you said, the mooncake, it's so wonderful to learn about the Mid-Autumn Festival and to get involved in that culture, which is a large part for many people's heritage in Vancouver.
Yeah. So what has been your favorite memory of being a part of the festival for like the last couple of years?
Well, that's a difficult question. Actually, I know the exact moment. Okay, so last year, I've made an installation, and a few friends have helped me out with that. And part of that installation was to have a sort of garland of wood slices on which we painted phytoplankton. And actually, a friend of mine helped me out who studies phytoplankton, which was really great. So for some, he even wrote the scientific name on the little wood slices with phytoplankton. And we painted it with glow-in-the-dark paint, and we hung around it LED light, so in the dark it would be very well visible. And now the exact moment that was my absolute favorite was when there was a father and his little daughter, maybe 3 years old. He lifted her up, and she looked at these wood slices, just the face full of amazement, and she put it in her mouth.
Oh, a child's first thought is.
It was so cute.
Oh, that's so adorable. It's like the child sees something that is so interesting and like cool, and the first thought is like, let me put it in my mouth.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's something that you're definitely not going to get every day as well. Like those little special moments. I think that will make like a festival. So for this year's one, is there something that you're like particularly excited to be doing or excited to see?
Well, I'm very excited to see our lantern installation coming together. I'm collaborating with two other people this year, and we are kind of creating little stone men, kind of like little trolls with glowing moss on them. And one of them will be lifted off with a hot air balloon, and there's going to be a bunch of hot air balloons hanging from the trees. And we're still have to put it together, so I'm very curious how it's going to turn out. But the other part I'm really excited about is these performances, because we have been practicing, but not yet in the dark or with our costumes. So I'm so curious how it's going to end up and how it will. It has been so much fun practicing with these people because the group is such a variety in ages as well. For example, in the dancing group, I think the oldest person is over 70 and the youngest person is under 10, is a mother and daughter, and a retired geology professor. And like, we have such an interesting variety in the people that are participating, and we have so many laughs when we practice. It's really, really been wonderful. So yeah, I'm just so excited to see this performance come together.
I think as well, that's a good way of promoting that this is like open to anyone and everyone. It's not you have to be like this professional performer or
not
you need to
all.
Be like a certain
Most
like
of us
age.
Are really beginners. Yeah. I liked what the mother and son said. We went around and said, oh, what is your experience in dancing? And they said, we love to just dance in the kitchen.
Yeah. See, that's amazing. It's a way of, I think, bringing a sense of like, I guess like humility to it all. It's like you can just go out, be carefree, do whatever you want. You do not have to be like caring what anyone else thinks, be the most professional, be the best. It's a good way of just like bringing together everybody of all abilities, all ages, like just everyone, and to be like, let's just have a fun evening.
That's right. I think what connects us all is the neighborhood, and that's the most wonderful thing. We talk about the different plants, the different birds that we see in the neighborhood, maybe something that changed in the traffic, or I don't know what's going to happen with the housing, because there are some plans, right? To do some redevelopment and put some high rise in the neighborhood. So it might really change. And I think coming together and doing these kind of things, it really connects you to the place you're living in.
So for this year's festival, could you tell us a bit about the theme?
Ah, yes. As far as I know, the theme is connected around the moon and then around water. So as I interpret it, it's a bit maybe the wisdom of the river, but also how the tides change and are very dependent on the cycles of the moon. And I think it's called consciousness of streams. So that must be most of the theme around which everything is centered. So in our installation, we really thought about, okay, there's so much like waste that is polluting our streams. And we're really noticing that in the Still Creek as well. There's been a few community gatherings where we're trying to take the garbage out of the creek so that the stream can freely flow. So in our installation, we've only used garbage materials, let's say, like plastic that otherwise would be thrown away. And we've done something called kit bashing. I had never heard this term before, but one of the people I was working with introduced me to this term. So kit bashing is just where you take materials of all kinds, so like recycled materials usually, and you try to reassemble it into a new shape and make something new out of it. So we make the shapes out of this plastic and we just use the paper waste for paper mache. And that way it comes together and we try to create these figurines that look like trolls and look like hot air balloons. So yeah, it's a very interesting technique and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think that's amazing as well. That it's like you're taking materials that would otherwise just be sort of what you're going to see dumped in the river as a way
that's
of like
right.
repurposing it. I think that's so cool. And like this idea as well that it's sort of like looking at the interplay of like water in like your life and things. And I recently watched actually something sort of clip here at work about the indigenous peoples and like their connection to water and like how water plays a big part for them. And it's like you don't hear much about like the significance behind water. Like if like I thought about water, I just think that's something I drink daily and use to like wash and that's about it. So it's amazing to hear about like the significance that water plays in so many other communities.
Definitely. Yeah, I think for our organization, the Still Moon Arts, it's been really important to work a little bit on the restoration of the Still Creek. So this waste collection is one of the things we have been doing. But another part, we try to raise a bit of awareness on the habitats that used to be there. So sometimes we do also this invasive species removal, where we take away maybe ivy or holly or morning glory, maybe the brambles, like different invasive species that are there that are kind of taking over the nutrients for other plants that are native to the region. So what we do is to take away the invasive species to like really pull them out at the roots and maybe plant some native species along the shore of the creek just to prevent like the erosion. Because kind of if this a bare shore of the creek, a lot of garbage will come into the creek. So it has kind of a double function. And what we sometimes do is to take some materials of these invasive species, such as the ivy, and we actually start weaving with it or make some different art materials. And you will see in the performance that some of the props are actually made out of those materials. So I think that's really exciting.
Oh, yeah, that sounds so cool.
Yeah. And it's just been so wonderful to be engaged in this work and like to hear from people that have been living in that neighborhood for over 30 years and like how people used to fish or swim in the creek when it was still flowing more naturally. And now it's been kind of channelized and covered a lot. So it would be wonderful if over time the creek can return more to its original natural state and a lot of the animals and plants can return to the area.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So is there a way that people can get involved with the festival for like next year?
Yeah, of course. I mean, first of all, throughout the year, Still Moon Arts is always recruiting volunteers for example, this ecological restoration. So taking care of the creek shore by the taking away the invasive species, but also taking away the garbage. So I think it's called something like environmental stewardship volunteer. And then there's another thing that the Still Moon Art Society does, which is this dye garden. So it's to take care of these plants that people can make natural dyes from. And then people can get involved in these workshops too, to like use it to dye different textiles with these natural plants. So those are the main two things that people volunteer for. Oh, another exciting program of Still Moon Arts is called Youth Connect. It's for people under 30 to just get involved and volunteer in a few different activities just to get to know the organization and what it does. I did this a while ago and I thought it was really exciting and it was a wonderful way to get to know the organization. But to get involved with the festival, I know that every year they're looking for new performance and new people to make lantern installations. And I think those calls, they go out around May.
Mm. Oh, wow. So there's definitely a wide range as well, again, of opportunities for people to get involved in if they want to get involved with the organization or as in like the festival itself. So, yeah, that sounds so cool. That is all I have to ask for you, Anna. But yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah,
thank you, Rebecca.